It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk about the recently announced changes to the SAT college admission tests, including the removal of that essay requirement.
First, the winter of 2014 has been brutal by almost anyone's standards, and the low temperatures and ice cover on the lakes have been especially hard for ducks, in particular diving ducks.
Diving ducks like mergansers, common goldeneyes, and redheads are used to diving below the surface to hunt for food. This year, the ice cover is making that job a lot harder.
Scott Deal is with us now as the wildlife manager for the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center at the Wisconsin Humane Society in Milwaukee. He's been working to restore sick and injured diving ducks back to health. Scott, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, Scott, why has this year been so hard for diving ducks?
The extensive ice cover on rivers, streams, lakes, especially the Great Lakes for these guys, has really been the source of their misery.
And when ducks get into trouble, what happens? Is there a typical thing that happens to a diving duck?
What's happening with these birds is, I think because the ice cover has been so extensive, and they're entirely dependent on, as you mentioned, foraging beneath the surface for fish or mollusks or whatever, with very limited locations in which they can forage, they've gotten pretty thin and pretty desperate. And what they're doing, it seems, is they're landing on roadways, wet or icy parking lots. I think given the right lighting circumstances, those surfaces look like a glistening river or pond to these birds. And they're so desperate for food that they are going to strange locations looking for food.
And I heard that you found some ducks that were literally frozen to the ice. What happened?
Oh, that was several weeks ago when the temperatures were, I think, like 16 below zero. And we had it pretty cold. I'm sure everyone remembers those days. Someone down at the Lake Michigan shoreline here in Milwaukee was looking at some of the strange ice formations forming on the shoreline, and they looked down and happened to see two mergansers who were one on top of the other and literally frozen to the ice on one of these formations at the shoreline.
And what happens then? How do you help them?
Well, we were, with the help of one of our trained rescue volunteers, another staff person, and I went down there, and we were able to use some of the lake water to ladle it over the frozen feet and feathers of these birds, and by working them by hand, actually get them freed from the ice. Unfortunately, the one that was on the bottom of the stack was already deceased, but we were ultimately able to release the surviving bird.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, what I've seen online is that the birding listservs and websites are sort of alive with these stories of people who are seeing sick and stranded and injured ducks. So let's say someone comes across a bird like this. What do they do?
Ideally, the best thing to do is to call a local licensed wildlife rehabilitator for their advice. And now sometimes these cases are, they're in a spot that's dangerous for them. Several of the birds that we've admitted have been hit by cars after they've landed in the road, and they're not good at standing and walking and can't take off from land, and they end up getting hit by a car or in some cases attacked by a predator. So in those cases, be careful, be safe, watch for traffic and so on. But getting the bird off the roadway, and you can use a jacket or a blanket to toss it over the bird and then pick it up and contain it in a cardboard box with a few small air holes poked in it, or a pet carrier or something like that. And then call a local wildlife rehabilitator for advice.
And let's say someone lives near you guys in Milwaukee and they drop off the bird with you or you come get it. What do you do to rehabilitate these ducks?
It's supportive care first. It's an exam, first a physical exam to see what's going on. And some of these birds have had, as I mentioned, fractures. So we've had broken wings, broken legs. Internal fractures is what we call things like broken coracoid bones or furculas, you know, the wishbone of a bird, or their keel, their breastbone. All of them are in various states of emaciation. They're usually 30 or 40% underweight and dehydrated. And so we will triage them, look them over, examine them for other problems besides the expected emaciation, dehydration. And then it's supportive care. If they're in really bad shape, they go into an isolette, essentially a used, donated human baby incubator that we keep some of the birds in. Or they'll be in a another habitat, small habitat cage, if you will, that has we make water beds by using zip-top food storage bags and put a light cloth over that. It's really important to keep these birds from developing lesions, pressure sores on their keel bone and on their feet, because really they're, other than going ashore to nest or occasionally to loaf around a little bit, they spend all of their time on the water, and they're really adapted for water. And so when they get on a hard surface, a relatively hard surface on the ground or a cage floor in this case, just like humans, if you were limited to a hospital bed lying on your back, you might get bed sores, pressure sores on your tailbone or whatever. And the same happens to these birds, albeit on their keel or on their feet. So we have to protect against that.
So lots of stuff you're doing to nurse them back to health. And as far as people who want to help, maybe wildlife in general or these ducks in particular, you know, short of just bringing them in, if they just want to help them out there on the lakes as they're looking for food, is there anything that we can do?
Well, we saw a great story about someone, I believe it was in Manitowoc, who had access to an icebreaker, and they actually went out and broke up ice for some of the free-ranging birds that have not, you know, succumbed to making a mistake about, like, landing in a street and ending up in a rehab center. So that's a really cool thing to do. Most of us don't have that ability, but we are a nonprofit organization, not funded by tax dollars. So donations, and it's real easy to donate on our website. And our website's www.wihumane.org. We're really going through the extra amounts of hot water and doing lots of laundry, lots of padding for cage floors to protect the birds, and lots of food, buying smelt by the 125-pound block. So that sort of thing would be super, super helpful.
Well, and the goal, is what you've said, is to release the ducks back into the wild. Can you leave us with a story about a duck or two that made it?
Oh, sure. Well, it's great to just see them day by day, and you know, they come in presented with, they're really hopeless, because once some of these guys hit the ground or end up in a snowbank, they just can't take off again, so they would have certainly died. But to bring them through, you know, the initial tough stage and watch them day by day start to eat and keep themselves clean and so on, and then be able to take them out to the lake shore and open your hands up and have them fly away and see them sail toward a horizon or sail out. There was one red-breasted merganser that we released a couple of weeks ago, and to watch it take off and fly probably 200 yards and land among some of its own kind out on Lake Michigan was really, really fun.
Excellent. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about the ducks and how they're doing.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
We've been talking to Scott Deal, Wildlife Manager for the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center at the Wisconsin Humane Society.